Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray. I'm the assistant to the chief deputy of O-Rock.
How's it going, Michael?
It's fine. It's fine. I guess I don't know. I'm so confused by things. So let's get started.
What's confusing? Let's talk this out, buddy. What's wrong?
So we've been going back and forth on like this the Oregon Trail game. Right. And
yes.
And you seem to be having a lot of trouble with the maze, which was not supposed to be an actual maze.
I can't do it.
Oh no.
I played it like 3 or 4 times. I've only successfully completed it once, and I made sure to make a save file there so I could jump to that point if I need to. I'm so bad at it. I don't understand.
So that's what's confusing me. I guess obviously it's confusing you because you can't figure out how to get through the maze.
I'm so dumb.
Well, let's see if I can figure out. Okay, so for people that don't know what we're talking about,
which
so
is everyone.
I'm actually going to do something like, trying to make an adventure game where our character can like walk through the woods. And my original thought was, it would be a very simple, like our character goes forward 5 steps, and that's how you get through that little maze section. So
yes.
It was originally just going to be like walking down a hallway. Your character can turn left and look at what's going on to the left. They can't actually, travel in that direction. They can look, but they can't travel in that direction. So basically, mm-hmm. I had a thing of like 6 different spots. So you click the forward button, forward, back, left, and right buttons to spin around and move. But it is just like going down a hallway. So that was the original plan. But then when it came to like doing the actual game, I realized it looked terrible because I took the pictures right after a big storm. And so like we had dead trees and trees falling down on the ground. It just looked really ugly. So
sure.
Then I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? So I tried to find a different way, a different area, which I think looks really nice. It's very green. It's good scenery. But now the character, for whatever reason, nature did not grow in a hallway in that particular area. It's the pathway turns left and right and stuff like that. So I suppose it's a bit of a maze. Because you have to go forward all the way and then turn left, go forward all the way and turn right. I think forward all the way and turn left, and then you climb down a cliff. Was it at all obvious that you were climbing down a cliff at that part of the game?
I did not get that impression.
You did not, so...
No.
Okay. I tried to take pictures, like, in the middle of the cliff, so... that didn't work very well, because it's pretty sheer, so...
It's possible when I got to that point, too, at that point, I was probably just totally randomly clicking in a frenzy and not paying a ton of attention to the scenery. Just hoping and praying that I would find the right thing to click on. But...
Yeah, because I watched...
Lost in the Woods.
Yeah, I had my daughter play that section, and she got confused by the first turn. And the first turn was something mm-hmm. where I added, like, an extra scene, because I had an orphaned picture. So what I did when taking the photos was, I tried to take a photo in all 4 directions, up, down, left, and right.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I had, like, an orphaned photo, but it looked good. So I tried inserting a scene, which is just, hey, you see the photo before your character takes a step. And I don't know if that was a good idea or not. Mm-hmm. It looks like it totally threw her off and she had no idea what was going on, because it shows the special picture, then it pauses for a second, and then it just goes back, takes you to a different area. So I think I might have to get rid of that. I think it was just an animation idea, which was cool in theory, but didn't work in practice. Did you ever, like, leave the area? I think that animation worked well, because it was like three or so pictures. When you're leaving the area, the character says it's time to go, and it has, you know, three pictures of him leaving.
Yeah, I saw that one several times, because I kept somehow, I navigated to the exit screen so many times, and then several times I would accidentally click the exit because I thought it was going to be an arrow, and then I would be back at the map screen.
Yeah.
It's just...
Okay, so I think, I tried programming it so that all you have to do is put your mouse at the top of the screen and just click forward 20 times, and that takes you straight to the exit. That seemed to...
Really?
Yeah, never turn left or right. You could just go forward every single time.
I thought I did that. Oh, man.
Maybe you accidentally turned left and got stuck. I don't know, or you had a different version, but...
Yeah, because that was my instinct through most of the playthroughs testing this puzzle. Was like, all right, I'm just going to keep clicking forward until I can't click forward anymore, and then I'm going to see what I can do next. And what would usually happen is I would get stuck in some sort of loop.
I don't know. It's going to be tough to figure out. I think what I'll do is try a second version of that. So I've seen other adventure games more recently. I'm totally forgetting the name. The Corruption Within. So I played The Corruption Within recently. And what they do is they have like four arrows at the in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. And you could also do, like, the WASD buttons to move yourself around. But it's like, hey, you click on the left arrow and your character goes to the left. Or you click on the right arrow and your character goes to the right. As opposed to what I've got now on the Oregon Trail game, which is, Oregon City game. Which is, you click on the top part of the screen to go forward, left part of the screen to go left. So I'm just, if that would at all be easier to have, like, arrows on the screen that people can play, click on.
That's how Deja Vu, how you navigate in that too. Remember that game? I think it has a little box on the bottom of the screen and different arrows positioned within that box, like where the exits are on the screen. So if there's like an exit at the top of the screen, a little arrow will appear at the top. Or if there's an exit like sort of three quarters of the way up the screen and to the left a little bit, like there's like a trap door in the floor in that spot of the screen, they'll put an arrow, they'll put like a marker right there on the indicator.
You're right. So like the idea of arrows. Yeah. I see Deja Vu.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of different or whatever you call it. The game came out on a couple of different systems.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm thinking of the NES one.
Okay. So it looks like sometimes we've got like a move screen at the bottom next to like open, take, leave, use. So those are the action buttons, and next to that is basically I guess what you'd call a move screen. And then it looks like they've also got basically the same thing, but the move screen in a totally different place if you're playing on like the Mac.
And I don't know that that's any particularly any better or not. That's just another way I've seen it. That also that method is like 30 years old, so it's not exactly the most modern way to do a puzzle like this.
So I'm seeing this old-fashioned style, something we don't see much with the video games anymore, but I know with a lot of the older like text adventure video games, you sort of have to like draw a map on a separate piece of paper to figure out how the screens are interconnected.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to happen, I guess, too often for my liking.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something I could have tried to do with your puzzle to try to work it out, but that's not something I ever really liked doing back in the day.
Yeah, well, the screens are all mostly just walking through the woods, so it's not very... It's not like, okay, I go right to reach the bathroom, and then I go forward to reach the hallway.
Sure.
And then forward again to reach the downstairs, how Deja Vu does it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I think I mentioned a few ideas. Like, I had said, like, I think it would be helpful if the player had some sort of indication of which way they were trying to go. Or, yeah, like, the trail, if you photoshopped trail markers onto the trees, maybe. But that would probably be a lot of work to make it look realistic.
Yeah.
But some sort of indicator that, or something that tells the player that they are going the right way, because... right now it's not even, you're not told like what you're looking for or anything like that, or how to know if you're going the right way.
Yeah. I'll have to try to think, 'cause The premise is that our character is trying to reach, like, a specific GPS location. Like, would it be possible to have a thing in, like, the lower right which says what your GPS coordinates are, and you sort of use that to try to figure out where you're supposed to go.
And you can tell when you're getting closer to that number or farther away from the number, or...
But then the question would be, how do you program that? I don't even know how I'd program control arrows either. I guess it's something called layers, right? You can do layers in RenPy. So you do like an additional layer that's in the corner, which changes depending on where you are.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if you could do that with a screen too. Or, I mean, maybe it could just be like on the images themselves. Like each image could have a little image pasted on it that has the indicator on that without even doing any coding at all. Just put it like directly onto the background files.
Yeah, because I think that's what I did in the escape room game, because I tried to look up how I did that there, and I think that's how I did it. The entire inventory bar is just sort of built into all the backgrounds, and the actual window itself is just a collection of buttons.
Yeah, wait, no, I think you could do it with a screen and a variable on the screen that is just like a string of numbers that, like, you set the variable when you enter a room, and then the screen shows a number that corresponds to that variable it's hard to describe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because it's like, okay, you step forward, that number changes.
Yeah. And then that number then becomes reflected on the screen. I think you might have to call the screen every single time you open a new room, but that's just copy and pasting a piece of code. That wouldn't really be too big of a trouble. I think something to consider, too, is what you're trying to accomplish with the scene. Like, if it is supposed to be a puzzle, then I think we're on the right track. If you don't really intend for it to be a puzzle, then one idea might just be to pare down the amount of forest screens. And in that way, just so there's fewer ways for the player to get lost or stuck, or maybe even have multiple solutions through it so that it's less about trying to solve this puzzle to get to the end of it and more about just kind of exploring the woods for a little bit, but then you always get to the end no matter what you do.
Yeah, I remember showing it to Mary. She, about halfway through, she figured out where she said out loud, "I know where I am." And then from there on out, she had no problem. But I don't know if that's because she remembers seeing this area in real life, or if she's figured out the interface. So one that's option funny. Could be is, okay, we start the puzzle there from the place where she said, "Oh, now I know where I am," which is, let's see if I can find it. Screen number 22 of 39. So that'd be like cutting down half of the puzzle.
That would be pretty helpful. Here's a random idea that would be like, I just figured out what the simplest answer is. Have a button that the player can click if they're stuck that just skips them to the end.
Okay.
So someone can try to figure this all out on their own if they want, or you can click a button and then the main character says, "Oh, wait, that I think that's where we're supposed to go," and then you go there.
Huh. That actually be kind of cool. I don't know if you noticed, there's sort of like a cell phone tower that you can see.
I did see the cell phone tower, yeah.
And your goal is sort of towards the cell phone tower, but it's not quite that.
Right.
But, I mean, in real life, if you're just trying to go for the cell phone tower, it will get you there. But the cell phone tower is only visible from certain areas.
Now I'm trying to think of, like, what an in-game reason to, like, what this cheat button would look like so that it makes sense in the game and is obvious to the player. Like, it could just be, like... No, I'm trying to think if it makes sense to have it, like, set to a timer or, like, after wandering around for, like, a minute... the main character speaks up, or if there's some other way to just sort of work it into the game naturally.
The kids complain, and then he offers to skip it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if like there's some sort of interface solution to this, like if you have an option to talk to the kids that's just like always available. You could talk to them and they'll start complaining and then you'll skip ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be something to think about, and it might be that might be a way for us to get around this without you having to redo too much work.
Yeah, I might have to do a lot of work to redo everything anyway, because it sounds like I'll have to change the photos. Which brings us to a different topic. So I took all the photos with my phone. It sounds like your phone is the same way. The phone doesn't take widescreen photos. That's just not an option on my phone. Why is that?
Mine has a few options for changing the, the ratio? Whatever. Mine has a few options for changing them, but none of them are just, like, standard. They're all weird. And the main one, is kind of like a box. It's basically almost a square. And that's sort of what you were working with too, with your pictures, is that the photos were all very close to square by default. And most like modern computer games don't really look like that.
Yeah, it's 4x3.
Yeah, 4x3 is like, that's like what Super Nintendo games look like.
Yeah, exactly. I think Super Nintendo games look fine on screens, but how do they look on how do they look on widescreen TVs? Are there bars on the left and right? I still haven't figured out how that works.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it does have bars on the screen. And that's something I was thinking of, too, is like when we would add this game to like the Steam store, for example, if the screenshots are all these 4x3 boxy images, we'll also have the, like the black bars in all of our screenshots. And I think that will not look great. And that's also going to be something that people complain about like before they even play the game.
Yeah, so the solution is, I know what the solution is going to be. It's just going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
What I've had it done is shrink the images to a certain height. But since screens are wider than they are tall, it's like, okay, well, now I just need to change it so it shrinks images to a certain width and then crop the extra height.
So if this helps, I don't know if we have the same version of Photoshop or not, but on mine, you click on the crop tool, and then you can type in like exactly what you want the final dimensions to be. So like right now, I have it typed in as 1280 pixels for width and 720 pixels for height, and that's the size of the backgrounds for the Santa Claus game. So when I'm going to crop a background image for that, I just have that typed in, and then I crop it, and then so it's all just one step, basically.
Interesting. Let me try that out.
I don't know if that helps or not. I wonder if it would also be possible for you to, not through Photoshop, but I wonder if there's something online where you can like crop all pictures, all of those photos, like automatically to the same dimensions. I wonder that could save you a tremendous amount of work, although then you wouldn't be choosing what the crop point is. Like it would probably just crop everything in the middle.
Oh no, so I got the automate batch. So I've been able to use that to just it opens every photo in a folder, does whatever action I've pre-selected on all those photos, and then saves it.
Oh, cool. You're way ahead of me then.
Yeah, so what I did was I just had it a thing which just crops things to a specific height. So what I've done is I had it shrink things to a specific height. I guess what I'll have to do now is shrink it to a specific width and then crop all the extra, and that will be like the 2 to 3. So I'll have to do like 2 or 3 actions to every single photo in the file.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think the cropping tool, you can do it with one action.
Okay. But yeah, we might have different
versions
of Photoshop. It might
not matter that. It might not matter that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a positively ancient version of Photoshop that I've been moving from computer to computer because I don't want the new one that you have to like pay a monthly fee for or whatever.
Yeah. Me neither. I don't want to pay monthly fees.
I like my ancient Photoshop.
Yeah, but the problem, either way, is now I have to go through my old, because I like renamed all the images too. So one's like, 4 up, 4 right, 4 left, 4 down, because we're in spot number 4, you're looking left, down, up, right. And so it's like, oh no, now I have to.
All right. So maybe it would make sense then to first figure out what changes you would make to the puzzle itself, because then maybe you'll learn that you don't have to fix all of the photos. You might only fix some of them if you go with the idea you had mentioned earlier, where you just like start from the location where Mary was able to solve the puzzle from. Then you know you only have to do the photos from that point on.
Yeah, I think what I'll have to do is I'll come up with a few solutions, then I guess we'll just put out a call for testers on Twitter or whatever. It's like, hey, do you want to check this out? Let me know which one works best for you.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting, but I know with the Carol Reed series, they always seem to start with a puzzle like that where you're going through the woods, but unlike this one, there seems to be like multiple pathways on there. So that like you could go left down the left side or down the right side. It's like, ugh, that seems like way too much work.
Well, that's what I was saying too. I mean, that might be another way to get around the puzzle, is if there are multiple ways to get there, then you know, people like me who have no idea what's going on might just accidentally find the end a lot easier that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or yeah, we put the cheat button in. Oh, there it is, over there. I see it. And then they just run over there.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's about all I've been doing with that. I don't know what I'll be able to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how much work I'll be doing with this Oregon City game in the next month, so
no worries, no rush. But I mean, it does seem to, it's pretty good so far, except for me not being able to handle the one puzzle that's done so far. There isn't just the one puzzle, because there's the woods and then the puzzle where you actually do the rock climbing, and I actually liked that quite a bit.
That was supposed to be the intended puzzle.
Yeah, I like that puzzle a lot. I thought that worked really well.
It works great, yeah.
I do feel bad for getting your stepdaughter killed a little, but, you know, things happen when you're doing rock climbing.
She's the one who insisted upon it. It was interesting having to change the puzzle because Rosie refused to be in certain spots. So she did not want to be in the upper left-hand corner, like, at all, period. You can't see me in any of the photos, but I think I was in several of them, like hiding behind a rock.
Yeah, although the photo, yeah, I mean, your whatever you did for compositing those photos, it turned out like very, very seamlessly. I was really impressed by that.
I'm so glad it took me a lot of photos to make that work. Oh
yeah,
no,
I bet.
Have to do that again if I change the dimensions. Oh, geez.
Oh
no.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Huh.
See, because, like I said, I went back for reshoots because this scene looked terrible. Mm-hmm. And some of those trees, like, grew leaves in the, like, intervening 5 months or so. And so that's why you can't always see the kids, because the trees are in the way. And I sort of had to have the trees, the fresh trees cover up the old trees. Because, the branches are a totally different color. Some have leaves, some don't. So, yeah.
No rush, at least.
That's been the danger I've had with trying to do video game stuff in this past month. Next month, I'll probably try to just keep going and see if I can work a way out of the situation. I think also the mom's game is next on my list to write the final pathway for that. So I'll have to maybe do that. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely take a break from this if you're starting to get frustrated by it or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I posted a question on the RenPy forums and I don't quite understand. Like, I want to be mean, but I feel like the RenPy, whatever you call it, the documentation is just completely terrible. Just not even kind of useful. What I would really like is if they gave examples. So like show at. So that's a thing I've been trying to figure out.
Yes.
So I just didn't remember the syntax for show at. I know I could say it's like show Mary at left. I know that. And I could do show Mary at right. But I'm like, okay, what if I want to show her a quarter of the way from the left? Or in this specific instance, it's like, okay, well, I want to show her like 50 pixels left and then 50 pixels down. And I eventually looked it up, which is, I want to hear your solution. Yeah, post this in the chat. I want to see how you can...
I know how to do it left to right. I guess I can guess up and down too, but it's just show at position and then parentheses x pause equals, in my example, 0.75. So that means they're 3/4 of the way, like, to the right of the screen. So 0.25 would be they're in the first quarter of the screen.
Yeah, so that's why I got because I said I'm picking actual pixels, so I just did that same thing.
Yeah.
At position, X pause equals 50, Y pause equals 50, and that shows her like 50 pixels right and then 50 pixels down. I guess it starts from the upper left corner, right? And not like the lower left corner.
Oh, wait, can you just do it in pixels like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was looking
for. Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Oh,
that's awesome. That's way easier. Yeah, mine's for percentage across the screen. I didn't know you could just do pixels.
Oh.
That wasn't in the doc. I didn't see that in the documentation.
That wasn't it. So here's what the documentation says about show at. The at property takes one or more comma-separated simple expressions. And the only example they give is show Mary Knight happy at right. Which shows that image on the right-hand side of the screen. I'm like, that's not useful, so it'd be helpful if they did say, okay, show at right, show at left, show at center, show at, like you said, 50%, or 0.5, I think, for 50%.
Oh, you can do it pixel by pixel. That's so much easier. Because I've struggled at times to get things at the exact right position, like when I'm trying to put buttons on a screen or something, because I'm like, all right, 0.65 isn't correct. Let's try 0.64. Nope, that's still wrong. All right, 0.6425. There we go.
That's but exactly if I can just use pixel what I did positions. With, that's exactly what I did with the pixel hunting, though. It's like, okay, so she...
Yeah.
It's like, okay, 40 pixels to the right. Well, that doesn't work. Okay, 50 pixels to the right. Oh, that's too far. okay, 45, 46, 40... And the game kept crashing after, like, every single... guess, which was a pain. So sort of my problem is so with that puzzle, so with like the scenes where the girls like talk to you or whatever, I have to do that, which is like show particular image at this position, but when you're moving them around, I guess those are screens which work differently, so they're image buttons. And so with the image button, all you do is write X pause 50, Y pause 50. You don't have to write position and then parentheses in front of them.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's just something I don't... I mean, it's clearly supposed to be the same programming, I think. I'm not entirely sure. In one case, it's just super easy to write X pause 50, Y pause 50, as opposed to position parentheses X pause equals 50, comma,
right.
Y pause, you know... It's easier to not have a comma. It's easier to just not have the equals. It's easier not to have position in parentheses. So I don't understand why you can write the same code in two different ways.
Yeah. Well, plus the more like characters you have to type, the more stuff you have to type, the more opportunity for errors you have too. And it's like, all right, where did I screw up? Did I use the wrong type of parentheses? Did I put a space where it shouldn't be? What did I do?
Did I put an extra
Did I forget
T?
To capitalize the P in position?
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, that one catches me more than I'd like to say.
I wrote left with two T's, that's what got me.
Yeah, and the error screens, like, sometimes they're helpful. And sometimes, like, they'll say that the error is in this line, and they're just straight up giving you the wrong line of code.
Yeah.
And it just sends you down a rabbit hole. Like, what did I do? I don't understand. This line is blank. What are you upset about?
Well, it definitely helped with, the problem was I misspelled the word left, because it's like, okay, that line's wrong. Something's wrong with it. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, it'd be nice if the documentation gave an example of like all the various things. So I mean, I just asked on the forum because I think I figured out the solution. It's weird, but so when I put X pause, Y pause as an image button, and as the show thing, the two ways of doing it, they don't match up. If that makes sense. Not. So X pause 50, Y pause 50, if I'm using show, not the same spot as X pause 50, Y pause 50, and I'll... Okay, so in order to get to match up with the show thing where it's positioned in a parenthesis, you have to put X pause equals the thing, then X anchor equals 0.0.
Oh, God.
And Y anchor equals 0.0, just to tell the show that we are starting in the upper left corner like the other one. So I think you have to completely specify that you're starting in the upper left-hand corner of the screen and not the upper left-hand corner of the particular image you're on. I think that's the idea. I think that's the problem, but it still seems like, why is it in the one case I have to do it and the other case I don't? Programming is weird.
Yeah, I will agree to that. There are probably some like some real, real programmers listening to this who are really furious with us right now. Like, no, this makes perfect sense, you idiots.
I think I went a little overboard in trying to explain maybe that's why it makes sense, but I still don't get...
Yeah, no. No, I mean, look, I've been coding games in RenPy for however long we've been doing this. What, like, when did My Nigerian Prince come out? Like, 2014, 2015? I still don't understand most of this stuff.
Okay, yeah, so the people did... They told me the ways to do it. So somebody said use padding, which I guess is a thing that happens with buttons. And the other person said, well, position's kind of an old-fashioned, depreciated way of doing it, so you could do transform. That's what all the cool people do.
I don't understand transform at all.
So I don't know what padding is. I don't know what transform is. I'm glad it's the exact same problem I'm having, which is there aren't any examples in the documentation. Padding just says, when given a two-item tuple, equivalent to setting X padding and Y padding to the two items.
What is a tuple?
Those words mean nothing to me.
No, I definitely know what you're talking about here. I've had this problem many, many times, and
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how screens work either, by the way. I know we have to use call screen to make a screen appear. And
yes. Sometimes
something...
you can use show screen too, but don't ask me when, but you can sometimes.
Show screen is when you want the ability to hide screen at some point. I think, but no. Because there's also a variation where it will just show the screen. And whenever the player takes their next action, like they click on the screen, then it immediately disappears.
I got really excited when I was working on the Santa's game because I was able to call a screen with a transition, and I'd never gotten that to work before. And for some reason, it just worked on the first try this time. So I'm not questioning it. I don't know why it happened to work this time. Because that was a problem I had a lot with Cat President when going from, like the main menu to the game itself, it would just, like, cut instantly to black. And I'd be like, I don't like the way that looks, but I can't make transitions work at all. Oh, well.
I don't really know what transitions are. I know.
Well, it's like the stuff for, like, when you like, fade to black, like that kind of thing.
Oh, I think
the fading is the transition. Yeah.
I did that at one point with is the mermaid game, actually. I had to do like three transitions for that.
Yeah. No, we do a lot of fading to black, or like if you want to have a character move onto the screen, that's a transition too, like show mermaid at left with move in right or whatever.
Oh yeah.
We'll make
yeah,
the
I
character
never...
move to the, yeah. That's a transition,
too. I never
too.
Figured that one out.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not always intuitive, especially if like for me, for example, I don't come from a strong coding background, so I'm sort of coming at a lot of this stuff sideways.
Yeah, but I think I could have sworn at like one point I learned how to do like a fast fade, or I learned how to do a fade. Oh wow, here's something.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a show character with move, and then after that I wrote linear 5.0 xpos 0.2. I don't even know what that means.
That might have to do with like a zoom or something. I think that's when I've used the linear thing before.
Yeah. Again, something that would be super cool if they like explained it in the documentation.
Yeah. It's in Cat President 2 when Hugh.Man comes in for a hug and he gets very uncomfortably zoomed in on the screen.
That's an actual... That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that effect a lot because I think it's
funny. I was wondering
looking.
How to do that because in the Oregon Trail game, there's a scene where Mary falls off a cliff and dies. And I was like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be cool if I could just animate, you know, this picture of her falling? Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure out how do I move a picture from one place to another.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think I could figure out how to move it, you know, from right to left, which is, okay, show picture at left with move. That's literally what you do, but that's a specific move. It shows it, like, it takes 1 second to move it from the one spot to the other when you use move like that.
It does. So I can tell you that I find that very irritating because yeah, it's always exactly 1 second, whether that speed makes any sense or not. So there's another piece of code where you can change what the move speed is. So what I frequently have to do is I have to do like move speed equals 0.8 and now it moves slightly faster and then I do the move and then I reset the move speed at the end of that too just in case I need to for whatever reason. So you'll see that comes up a lot in Cat President and Pizza Boy code is move speed, move speed again.
But why do the characters need to move exactly at 1 second everywhere?
Yeah. Well, it's weird, too, because some transitions you can define how long it takes. So, like, the dissolve one, dissolve is what I use to fade to black. So you can be like, show black with dissolve 2, and it'll take 2 seconds to go to black. Or show it with dissolve 0.1, and it'll go super fast. But there's only, like, a couple transitions you can use that with, and moving is not one of them.
Ugh.
It's all, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'll post something on the forums again to these people that were helpful. Somebody wanted to know what my code looked like. It's like, I basically posted it above, but I can do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that trouble posting on technical forums. I don't know. Has this been your experience too, where you post your question, you try to provide as many details as you can so everything makes sense, and then the first response like is just totally unrelated, and then you just have to like keep coming up with different ways to reword your the same exact question until someone answers it correct, like someone actually answers it. I feel like I've had that come up several times.
Well, this is basically like the first time I've been like trying to figure it out. I haven't really posted on their forums. I think this must be like the second or so time I published or did anything on their forums. So yeah,
and I don't mean just RenPy too. I just mean in general whenever I have a tech issue that I'm posting. I mean it's so nice that people are taking time out of their day to try to help, but it's not like if they don't read the question, it's not very helpful.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, because I know in tech support, you learn to be very specific when asking people questions. It's like, okay, what's the problem? I guess one of the rules of tech support is you want to restate the problem. Basically, repeat what they told you in slightly different words to confirm that's actually the issue at hand. Because sometimes, like I imagine people listening to us, it's like, we're not saying the problem correctly.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure we almost never use any of the correct technical terminology. At least I don't.
Yeah, we're not using tuples or whatever.
What is a tuple? So is that like, all right, well, I want to Google.
It's like
it.
One more than a single pull. I don't know.
I want us to each guess what it is, and then I'm gonna Google it. So I think it's like a pair of things like x pos equals 1, y pos equals 2. I think that's the tuple. Is those two pieces of those two variables. What do you think?
It sounds like it's something to do with triple, but it's not triple. So I think it's in between double and triple. So let's say something thirded. But no, that would be tripled. I don't know. I think it's okay. Something about tripling.
All right, here's an article where you learn everything about tuples, what are tuples, how to create tuples, and when to use tuples. Okay. A tuple in Python is a list. Okay? It's created by placing all items in a
list
inside parentheses. Okay, so it's a list of things. It's a list of things separated by commas. Why is it a tuple? It sounds like it's two. It's not two.
I'm sure it's pronounced like tuple or something.
Tuple. Listen, I want everyone who's mad at me right now to let me know. I don't care. Stupid.
Interesting. Okay.
Shouldn't be this hard. So yeah, it's all the junk that's in the parentheses that's separated by commas. Or it says the parentheses are optional. Does that help? It's just a list separated. It's just a list separated by commas.
But what about the thing where I write position x pos equals 50, comma y pos equals 50? So the comma, the parentheses are optional.
Can you have one item in a tuple? Here we go. A tuple can have any or a tuple. Now it's got to be tuple, right? Because tuple would be two p's.
Yeah, I guess.
It can have any number of items, and it can be of different types, such as integer, float, list. Okay, so a list can be a type of tuple.
I'm losing my mind.
I'm absolutely trying right now to see.
I'm trying this tuple. Oh, yep. So when I get rid of the parentheses in this tuple, totally crashes the game and does not work.
All right, well, maybe it's not that... Maybe the parentheses are sometimes necessary for a tuple, but a tuple does not, by definition, have to have parentheses.
Okay, yeah, because
all parentheses have
squares,
tuples, but not all
but
tuples. Absolutely.
Okay.
Losing my mind.
Here we go. It looks like it did not crash the game when I got rid of the comma.
What?
So, I deleted the comma in between x pos equals 50, y pos equals 50. It's a space instead of a comma, and it worked just fine because it's already enclosed in parentheses as a tuple.
There are two main pronunciations of tuple. Tuple and tuple. Neither is incorrect.
Great. It's GIF and GIF.
Well, no. GIF is wrong. I say so.
Which one's wrong? See, I always say GIF, but if I'm using the word animated, I call it an animated GIF. I don't know why. Huh. Somehow using the word animated in front of it changes the pronunciation for me.
Yeah, well, there was a thing that, like, the guy who created it is like, it's GIF! It's GIF, darn it!
I mean, we can't even pronounce Renpy or Renpy correctly. Yeah.
Renpy or Renpy. There's a lot of debate about how you pronounce tuple, in case you were wondering.
Oh, man. We can't explain what it is, because we're too busy arguing over how it's pronounced.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's sort of the issue we run into in trying to look stuff up in the documentation, right? Is that we don't have a lot of the common ground that is assumed for someone who would be looking up things in the documentation. We don't have the same background, the same knowledge going into it. So it's very much like speaking a different language at times. It makes it hard to interpret it into something we would be able to understand or use. I guess that speaks to who they were writing the documentation for, who they thought the audience was, is someone who is versed enough in Python to be to digging deep into this stuff. That's I guess it seems like that's what they would assume is their readership there. But we don't even know what tuples are.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Would you like the quick update about how Santa's game is progressing?
Sure, yeah, let's talk about something else. Yeah.
We could talk about coding some more. That'd be fun. The intro is completely done now. Everything from art, interface, sound, music, you've seen it already. I showed it to you, Michael, but that's mm-hmm. that's all pretty much set and like in a finished playable form. So that's I'm very, very pumped about that. These kind of games, a lot of the work ends up being sort of front loaded in these visual novels that we make, because a lot of it is just me taking the photographs that people have sent us and turning them into character models that I can use in the game. So the farther I progress into coding, the fewer and fewer images I that are left that I need to edit. So like I already have 30 character views like ready to go in the game just from the intro alone. So that's 30 things I can already pull from as I continue to work instead of pulling from nothing, which is where I was when I started. So anyway. It's the sort of thing that gets faster the farther you get along, which is good and slightly different from Internet Court, which was just kind of slow all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that we're doing, I guess each character gets their own storyline. So, like, I guess we're doing Sexy Santa first. That's the first storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, once you're done with the Sexy Santa storyline, you probably will never need to, like, edit any of the Sexy Santa photos or the poses or anything in other storylines.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I get to that point, when I'm coding it, I can just insert the images instead of having to open up Photoshop and take care of it. I'm also getting faster at editing the character images than I ever have been. I found an erase tool that I've been using quite a bit. The Magic Eraser in Photoshop has been quite helpful. That sort of, especially when someone takes their images in front of like a plain background, like a green screen or like a white sheet or something, then I can use the background eraser tool to get rid of a lot of the stuff, and then I can just go around the edges and clean up everything as need be. So that's been going great. Of course, then I gave myself the additional task of having blinking closed eye views for all of the characters so that the character sprites can all blink. But that's been going faster than I thought it would too, so that's good. And I think it looks cool. How do you feel about the blinking character art, Michael?
It's fine by me, I suppose. They're all blinking, yeah.
Yeah. There's certainly an option to turn it off if it's just too much for people to handle, these photographs blinking at you while you're playing the game. That was one of the first things I added, was the ability to turn that off.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's interesting. Something I've been trying to focus on is, I mean, this is something I always have to do with these games, but in this one in particular is making sure all the characters' sort of proportions and sizes match, and like the lighting on all the photos match. It hasn't been as big of an issue in previous games because we only ever have like one or two characters on the screen at a time usually, but for the intro scene in the Santa's game, we have all six Santas crammed onto the screen at once. So I had to do a little extra effort to sort of make sure that they all look like they belonged together and weren't in, you know, six different locations like they were in real life. So like I said, adjusting lighting and things like that. Adjusting the sharpness of the photos in a few cases. But I'm really happy with how it came out. I was really afraid that the two stock art Santa Clauses would kind of stick out compared to the other four. But mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. I think everything sort of looks like it fits together. Would you agree with that or no?
No, I mean, it works just fine. I mean, I know which ones are the stock art ones, yeah. But it looked fine by me.
In any case, that's been working out really well. Oh, and we re-recorded ho-ho sound effects for all the characters, too, for the Santas going ho-ho-ho. That was fun. I liked yours, Michael. You play Saintly Santa, and your character is kind of singing his ho-ho-ho.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what to do with it, and it was awkward.
I think
because my wife was in the room, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes. No, I think it came out well. Sleepy Santa's was pretty funny too. He yawns all of his ho ho hos, which I find pretty entertaining. I ended up in the game I play Secret Santa, but I ended up using a text-to-speech synthesizer for him to try to give him sort of like a no-nonsense, like FBI agent kind of voice, and I think that worked out really well. So then I ended up recording my voice for Sassy Santa, who is in the game played by an older guy with gray hair and beard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have two stock arts, so we can ask those people to play their characters' voices in the game.
All taken care of. No, I got it already. I gave him a particularly sassy-sounding laugh. It's like, ho, 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 something like that, which I enjoyed. And I tried to modulate. I tried to make my voice sound slightly older. I don't know that it really worked out. And then for the other stock art Santa, Sexy Santa, I found a really nice one just on freesound.com. It's a very like kind of classic ho ho ho, but I thought that would be a good one to have there because everyone else has kind of a goofy ho ho ho. So anyway, that's the update on the Santa's game. No disastrous or obnoxious coding issues that I've run into so far, thankfully. But this is a much more straightforward game than the Oregon City game, so it makes sense. This is like everything we're doing in the Santa's game is basically stuff that we've done before and we know how to do. Michael's got the more experimental, challenging project. All right, let's go into listener questions. We just got a quick one hot off the presses from Hugh Miller on our Discord channel, and Hugh wants to know just how's your day been?
My day has been ruined because there have been messages posted on the channel that I can't see, and it makes me very sad.
On the Discord?
Yeah.
Why can't you see it?
Am I looking in the wrong spot?
It's so in the OWA podcast text channel.
Okay. Why are there 5 text channels?
There's 4.
Okay, there's 4. Okay.
One's general, one's our games, one's other people's games, and one's for the podcast.
Oh, for Orox Studios has its own server now. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's always had a server. Server.
Hugh is... I don't know if you can see this. Hugh is actively making fun of us in the OWA podcast text channel.
I am sure he knows what a tuple is.
Yeah, Hugh. He's just... In your own words, can you please tell us what a tuple is?
T-U-P-L-E.
Hugh says it's a great question. Thanks, Hugh. My day has also been... Well, wait, no, you didn't say your day was good, so I can't say my day has also been good. My day has been good, though. Mm-hmm. I did lots of work. That's all I have to say. Thanks for the question, Hugh. Always appreciate... your Hugh-ness. I need to end this podcast, I think. This is the rails. We're not on them. We don't even see the rails anymore. The rails are gone. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. And is there anything that you would like to add, Michael?
if you could also email us the definition of tuple, that would be great.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. The story will be told. Go!
I am concerned that Sexy Santa does not look quite as sexy when he has all of his clothes on.